Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. Yeah, in today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about my wedding, do a bit of an update cast on that, a few things that I kind of recognized, was able to reflect on from it, and kind of how they affect the way my brain is working and how we did things differently at this wedding to how I've ever done, and where that kind of came from, how we got there, and how it all relates to dyslexia. So let's dive into today's episode. Okay, so let's get into this episode. Now, this is an update cast. This is where I talk a little bit about my life, what's working. I've done a couple recently, but I wanted to do an extra special one because I have just been married. I am now a husband. Now, in the last episode, I talked about planning, and we went through how we planned the wedding, and I said I would come back with an update cast to say, hey, did it all work? Because it's all good to say, hey, I feel confident we've planned it, but did the wedding go to plan? So I will get to that in a moment. But just before I do, the next podcast, I'm actually interviewing a specialist in auditory processing disorder, APD. So it's really interesting if you've got issues with hearing, if you feel like you don't hear things, if you struggle with audio in like really loud locations, if you struggle with really loud, high-pitched kind of noise, we're going to be talking to someone who knows what they're doing there. I always say dyslexia is very much a cocktail, and some people are high dyslexia, others ADHD, and APD is one of the ones that's probably a bit less spoken about, but it can affect a huge number of people. So we're going to find all about that from someone who knows what they're talking about. So stay tuned. That'll come out this coming Thursday. So back to the wedding. Did it work out? Did it go to plan? Now, as me and my wife were sitting there at the end of the night, as we trudged back to our room, you know, we both were chatting away and saying we could not have actually even imagined how well it went. Everything just went perfectly. We went into it with a relatively clear picture of how the day would go. And then what we did is we actually just released the energy around the result. We just said, hey, what'll be will be, and trusted and walked into it. And a heap of little things changed throughout the day. A few timings were not quite right. You know, speeches kind of went pretty well in the ceremony itself. But there's a few, you know, food, we could have done things a bit differently in hindsight. But on the day, what happened was the energy of the people, everything just went perfectly. We felt great at every moment throughout it. And I was just remarkably, you know, at the end of the night, we were just both so grateful and thankful to having such, you know, such an awesome time. Like it was, you know, just exactly what we imagined. You know, and if you want to imagine or create a picture in your mind, where we held it was in this bar. Now, it's a special bar designed for events, wooden floors. It has twinkle lights and plants in the roof. It's white roof, had a stained glass window with someone holding a beer because it is a bar, and then a bar at the back. Absolutely amazing. We had a selfie booth. We had all this stuff. We wanted people to be creative with photos. We wanted those candid real life photos rather than the fake ones. And, you know, we had more food and drink than you could imagine. Everyone just loved it. It was there to talk to everyone. Everyone got to meet each other for the first time. There was no fixed seating, you know, no fixed sit down dinner. It was all just, you know, it was just a party, and it worked out amazingly well. You know, and one of the things, you know, probably I just want to raise a few things from this update cast about, you know, I look at how did I feel? How was my emotional, my mind? And what did I kind of connect and really sit on and think about? And one is just the power of visualization. You know, planning and aside, you know, there's in that last podcast, I talk about more of the specifics. But there is nothing more important to the dyslexic thinker than being able to visualize what they want and see and feel a picture. Now, I talk about this when I train or coach someone. This is a huge piece of it, and there are a bunch of techniques to improve this and ways to structure it from an external perspective that really helps. But on a simple note, you've got to think about how can you visualize what you want, connect with it on a daily or very regular basis, and then start trusting that it's just going to work the way it should. And people sit there and go, well, that's not how it works. You've got to do this. You've got to have a 28-point checklist. You've got to have spreadsheets. You've got to be so tightly connected to the outcome. Now, don't get me wrong. There are actions. There are detail that is required. I'm not saying that's not the case. You can't get anything in life with just hope and nothingness. But that was never the case with many of us, right? Like what I find with the dyslexic thinkers in the world, there is no lack of hard work and energy. The challenge we all struggle with is how do we direct it in the same way long enough to get an actual result without changing the end point so often that it's pointless or getting distracted by shiny objects. So as I mentioned in the planning side of things the other day, you know, myself and Holly got so clear on what we wanted it to be. We didn't speak about what type of napkins we wanted. I don't even know if there was napkins. I presume there was. You know, we didn't talk about that. We talk about how will our friends and family interact? How will they feel? You know, what will happen? And, you know, one of them was we wanted the ceremony to be short. We wanted it to be creative. You know, we had a priest stand up from the spaghetti monster Pastafarian religion. If you ever wanted to laugh, you know, just these people just have a bit of a laugh. So we got a guy who wanted to do that, a friend of ours. And it was just a bit out there, a bit creative, a bit roll the dice, give some people something to remember that that's us, creative, out-of-the-box kind of people. We wanted people to take their own photos. We wanted photos that were candid and not forced, which was really key for us. And we wanted memories like that. That was more important than us having everyone line up in rows. And we didn't have a single photo like that the whole night. It wasn't even a group photo. So, you know, we had this energy or this feel we wanted. And we didn't know how that was going to come about at the beginning. But we took the time to create the energy, the visuals, the pictures, make sure we were both clear on it. So there wasn't one of us pulling one direction, one of us pulling the other. And we got that super fine. You know, and again, and it's not just the picture or the movies. And when I say picture, I mean it could be visuals, movies. But very, on, you know, a lot of the time it's actually the emotion that we wanted to bring. And from the event, you know, without talking about detail, at the actual ceremony, everyone said like they either cried or nearly cried. Everyone was holding back tears. And these are people that don't usually cry because it was so emotional and it was so true and authentic and real. There was no, it just wasn't anything more than just pure, you know, happiness and realness. And that was done by design. We designed that emotion. We wanted it. If you'd have asked us how we were going to fulfill that when we first decided that, I don't know. We would not have known, would not have had a clue. Even things that happened on the day, we couldn't have imagined. We have a lovely little six-year-old, Holly's daughter, who was throwing petals up in the air. You know, she got really so excited. She was jumping and throwing them at completely random times. So it was cute and beautiful and it was all this stuff all at once. You can't plan that stuff. But we had such a clear view of the energy. It was amazing how it became what we wanted. And then once we got through that, one of the other key things was we wanted the energy of the rest of the event to feel like a really relaxed party where people who had never met before would feel like they've been friends forever. So we knew from that we wanted the drink to be flowing, the food to be flowing. There's no seats they have to sit in. They can move around, talk to different people. It was a very different type of wedding where it kind of forced interaction. It got people chatting, got people taking photos. You know, if people wanted to sit together alone in the corner, they could if they wanted to, but it was their way of doing it. And it felt like one of those really cool parties. And everyone came back and said, wow, that was so energizing, it's so relaxing. People couldn't believe how unforced it was. And once the actual event was, you know, the ceremony was over, we didn't want to feel like the anxiety of, oh, at 8 o'clock we've got to do a speech, or at 7 o'clock we've got to do this, because that wasn't the feeling we were trying to drive, right? We wanted to sign the paperwork after the ceremony, and at that point our forced job stopped. And that's what happened. So like within an hour and a quarter of the wedding started, we just lived and enjoyed it. You know, we probably had the most enjoyable wedding for a husband and wife, you know, definitely better than my first one, right? Because it was a lot less planned. It was just enjoy it. It wasn't a show about us. It was about everyone getting together. And, you know, that was all done based on the feeling that we wanted to attract. So what I'm trying to get across here, guys, from this update cast is whatever you're trying to do, whether it is a job, whether it is, you know, maybe it is a project, whatever, maybe it's a relationship. How do you want that relationship, that job to feel? Because, you know, with dyslexia, we are so driven by focusing way too hard on the how. We have our eyes so directed on how do I do that? How do I do that? To a point we forget why we're doing it. You know, what's the point of it? And where do we actually want to go? And how does that feel? We just lose it. But, you know, it's the minutiae of that just blows our brains. It doesn't work. When you release the how and you trust that your brain is really quick and it can solve a lot of stuff, you actually need to start getting better at feeding into it. What do you actually want? And repeating that so you don't go off topic too much. You know, for me, I look at my screensaver now and it says, have my dream wedding with a picture of the venue once we'd chosen it. That's part of my screensaver on my computer. I look at it every single day. And guess what happened? Not just because of that, but as part of it, I had my dream wedding. And so, you know, becoming connected to these outcomes visually, emotionally, is just priceless. The how fills in the gaps, you know. So what a lot of the time we do is we don't set dates unless we have to. A wedding, we had to kind of set a date. But it's kind of, we set a general date. We say, hey, this happens a month early or 2 months early, 2 months late, doesn't matter. It's about the energy, the feeling. It's about the journey towards that thing that's exciting and interesting. And as long as we know where we're going, we've got that pinpoint down there visually and emotionally, we always work out how to get there. So that's just super, super important. And I think the other key, you know, the other big thing I wanted to say without making this podcast too long is being grateful and reflecting. You know, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's the hardest thing is how do you take a step back and reflect on things going well? And we sat there for a good day, it felt like, and just continually saying how grateful we are for little specific things, because it worked out perfectly. And you're sitting there going, wow, that just fell into place beyond our imagination. I guess we were shocked and amazed and happy about the how it came about, because we didn't know how it was all going to turn out. We knew what the feeling was going to be, but how the feeling came about, we didn't know. You know, we had some of it planned, we'd hoped on some of it, other things just happened out of the blue, and it just worked. And so being able to afterwards actually look back, sit there, visualize, imagine, you know, feel it out, be able to look at photos and videos, it's never been a better time in history for that, and just go, I'm so grateful, and let that feeling come back to us again and again and really embed that into our lives. You know, too often we can always be on to the next thing. How do I do this? How? And not slow down long enough to actually enjoy it. So remember that. Take your time. It's not about the end point. It is about the journey. The journey to get the wedding there. The journey of the day. It's not I'm married now. Successful. Take that off the bucket list. Bang. What's next? You know, it's not really a life you want to live, right? So I just wanted to just share on the update cast. If you take anything away from this, you know, what can you start to visualize and feel into as we're coming to the end of the year? You know, I do this process every single year, and I have no doubt there'll be more podcasts on this going forward about little tweaks and improvements I'm making to my own systems for this, for the dyslexic mind, the neurodiverse mind, and how we can use it to take us all further forward. So hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. Stay tuned for the next one in a couple of days about APD. I believe auditory processing disorder. I love a, what are they called? A synonym, an acronym, anyway, you get it. Have an epic rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.